All right, everybody. Hello and welcome to Grim Smiles. This week, first of all, it's me, Emma. With me is Milk, my co-host.
Hello, it's me.
We are here to talk about the Leviathan, whose ability, it's a demon. If more than one good player is executed, evil wins. All players know you are in play. After day five, evil wins. It has some really cool flavor text. To the last I grapple with thee, from hell's heart I stab at thee. For hate's sake, I spit my last breath at thee. Anyway, to help us with this, we'll draw here George. George, how's it going?
Pals. Hey, thanks for having me.
What's up, pal?
Delighted to be here.
Yeah. We brought in George, who is very knowledgeable about the Leviathan, having written a great streamer stack script that features the Leviathan.
Thank you. Yes, it's one of my favorite demons. Although weirdly, this is, as a prolific scriptwriter, this is the only time I've ever tried to do anything with Leviathan. It's not a super flexible character for scriptwriting. We'll come to that, I'm sure. But it is, I think, a really, really fun character. It delivers the kind of experience that is very hard to replicate with any other demon in the game. And it makes it kind of a sometimes food for a lot of people, but it's a really nice way to mix up your games and get something a little bit different.
Yeah. It's a real mystery. It's a real mystery kind of character. It's a real puzzle to solve. It's very, like, it's very distinctive as compared to every other character.
The interplay between the Leviathan not killing and executions being very dangerous for the good team sort of forces everyone to play differently and very much restricts the characters that can play with Leviathan well.
I'm sure we'll get to that.
A lot of Clock Tower characters are premised on the idea that the good team wants to execute and the demon kills people at night.
Yeah, the result is very much like this kind of slow burn of a game where I always understand why people have weird reactions to Leviathan and can think it's not a lot of fun, because especially in the early game, it can feel like you're kind of treading water and not really doing anything. Like, nominations are sort of pointless and everyone's just sort of sitting there waiting to go to sleep and wake up again and go to sleep and wake up again. And then you get a few days in and you realize, oh, hang on, this has all been bubbling up and now there's something interesting happening. I think it's a really clever, it's a real thinker of a demon. So yeah, it rewards the puzzle solving elements of the game in a way that a lot of other demons don't.
It's also fascinating because it's known to be in play, right? It gets announced on the first day of the game. You know what your situation is, and the horror slowly dawns on you.
Yeah. I know this is something George certainly appreciates about it. It's, if you're a storyteller who enjoys doing like flavor text narrations at the start of the day, Leviathan goes really well with that because it never feels like it's messing up the pace.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're never going to be in a situation which, you know, hypothetically could happen where you write a whole bunch of flavor text for several days and then the game just ends on day three and you never get to do the punchline. That obviously has never happened to anyone. But if it were a risk, it would be least likely to happen in a Leviathan game where pretty much always you're going to get to day five.
Yeah, I don't know what the actual rate of games is, but I would imagine Leviathan games more often than not go to day five. I think it's probably pretty low likelihood that the Leviathan games, you know, end on the first execution most of the time.
Yeah, and that's sort of built in, like the paranoia of the drawback of the Leviathan's lost condition kind of serves that, right? You're almost never making executions on a Leviathan script unless you're pretty confident it's a good idea. And usually the demon has enough resources to make them look like not a safe bet until the end.
So we're going to get into our how to play the Leviathan section, I think. And the kind of idea, you know, of the Leviathan, it doesn't make night choices, unlike most of the other demons. It doesn't kill at night. It doesn't sort of reduce the number of good players in play. And that's probably going to have a big effect on how you play Leviathan.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think for inexperienced players with Leviathan, it can be very overwhelming trying to work out how to approach that when you don't have the most obvious tool in your arsenal, which is kill the scary people. But yeah, you do. I think the most important thing you can do as a Leviathan or someone on a Leviathan's team is to avoid passivity. You really, really want to go out and create misinformation that will aid your team, because the downside of not being able to kill anyone is that all the townsfolk are alive. And that's bad, because they do good things and have useful abilities.
Getting their information.
Exactly, yeah. So the good team will have lots of information with lots of ways to then connect that across and build up lots of things that they can use to triangulate where the demon is. So you need to get in amongst that and disrupt that with misinformation of your own. Obviously, there is room for the evil team to take some characters that are more passive, although most of the time on the Leviathan script, there would be a lot of characters that kind of are that way. But you need to have some voice in creating alternatives, because the main advantage of the Leviathan is that the good team has very few chances to rule out people as being the demon. Like, if you execute two good players, it's done. So most of the time, you're looking at two or three total executions in a game, unless somebody outs evil in a really comical way early on. So the fewer viable worlds they rule out, the better. But that also means the more viable worlds you can create for them, the better it is for your team. Because they can't rule out them all.
And the balance of that is, like, the good team isn't going to have generally both more and higher quality information roles than they would on most scripts, because they need to be able to be more precise with their execution. So in that sense, I agree with George completely. It's playing as the Leviathan or playing as the Leviathan's minion, and you need to dig into those S&B evil still worlds where you can't just sit there and watch the good team give information. You have to be part of the active information more.
Yeah, you have to build worlds as the Leviathan. It's actually something I think I kind of messed up. I waited a really long time to pull the Leviathan token. It just took me a really long time to actually get to play it, and I was really looking forward to it. And when I did eventually get the token, I sort of didn't know what to do. It wasn't instinctive what to do. And I kind of just ended up grabbing, I think, a Flower Girl bluff. And I kind of, you know, was just kind of going through the game. And I ended up crafting information that basically just pointed at me, you know, just like kind of sort of accidentally, you know. And I'm like, well, I can't be the demon because I say I'm the, like, you know, it's, but like, you can end up in weird situations where if you're not prepared for this character, I think, you know, you're going to go, well, I'll just wake up at, you know, not wake up at night and just hang around and everything will be fine. But you really have to be making some kind of plays. You really have to be creating some kind of worlds, because otherwise, even though they're not doing process of elimination by killing off players, right, which is a big advantage for the evil team, the good team is gaining information, and you have to be in those information conversations, redirecting them with your misinformation. Your misinformation is, you know, you're claiming things that hopefully make sense and that you can craft other worlds with.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think that the earlier you get started on that work, the better. In a lot of ways, I think the first 4 days are more important for the evil team than the fifth day in Leviathan. If you have done the groundwork early on and created a lot of confusion and misinformation and different paths for people to go down, the fifth day is easier to survive once that happens and there are viable alternatives to the demon because of the number of people who can be nominated that day. In a conventional demon situation, your final day is probably three players and the options are really condensed and it's choosing between like probably one or two things that feel doable. But you know that if you don't take the chance on the first nomination, you only have these two left, and it narrows down the good team's choices. On day five of the Leviathan game, I've seen games where you have seven or eight nominations on that final day. So if you can create the situation where like one good player believes you enough and the nomination on you happens early enough in the day that there's that built-in hesitation in Leviathan, oh, I still have choices if I don't go for this. That if you have done the work to get to a point where you're not the only candidate, I think day five can sometimes be the easiest day for Leviathan.
Yeah, like, it's also, like, frequently if you get on the block in a, like trouble brewing as the imp with like 4 or 5 votes, even if it's technically liftable, it's over.
Yeah.
The good team is too scared of an evil rise up at that point to vote, even if they don't think you're the demon. And good wins a lot of trouble brewings precisely that way. Like, 4 people think you're the demon, and then everyone else gets scared out of voting on the other candidates.
Yeah.
Leviathan's lifted with like 8 or 9 votes.
Yep. Yeah, well, because nobody's spending their dead votes, right? Because nobody's dead. So like you have time to change your mind, which you don't often get to do in most situations.
Yeah.
And that means your defense can be very useful, right? You know, socially and mechanically. If you're building up a world till final day, you want that mechanical information that you've created to be able to redirect the world so that you can actually make a strong defense and say, hey, everybody, look, this is what my information says. It works with this person and this person's information. And I think this person is the demon, right? And there's a lot of demon candidates left, you know, hopefully by that point, there's, you know, at least 2 or 3.
Yeah. So a little bit of social credibility is always valuable no matter what demon you are, but it's especially valuable for Leviathan, I think, because of that exact reason. Like, you just need to cause one little bit of hesitation and there, you know, it's not like a normal trouble brew situation where the dominoes will fall once the first one goes. Like, one vote won't cause everyone else to vote at the same time if they don't feel the vibe is right. So yeah, being able to just say something at the right time that rings true does an awful lot of work as a Leviathan.
The other thing I think is really interesting is, you know, you can do a lot as the Leviathan because powerful good rolls aren't going to be as hesitant to come out, right? Like, powerful good rolls are probably, I mean, you know, there might be minion disruption, you know, poisoning and things like that that may be affecting them. But like, powerful good rolls on day 3 or so, powerful good rolls are going to be sharing their information. And you can, you know, one way that you can really build a lot of trust with other players is to share information with them. Sharing information is a way of building trust. And so if you've got information that you feel like, you know, sounds strong and sounds good that you can share, you can get it out to a lot of good, you can get it out to a lot of good players and start building trust, trying to eliminate yourself as a demon candidate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who will probably also be alive in final proof. Or yes, final 9, it'll attend. Final day, whatever, day 5.
Yeah, and the minions, I think, similarly, like, it's hard to say whether they want to look like a demon more than usual, but it can be a real detriment when they're, like, one of the only couple of people who nobody is going to vote for on the final day because they seem like a minion. Yeah, they should and probably will happily go along with you throwing them under the bus. We'll, you know, often create information that does the exact same thing to themselves. You'll want to work with the good players, and yeah, they'll get rid of the minions. That is totally fine every other week.
Yeah, and like, part of this, like, you need to be active in sharing information, and the good team is going to have a bunch of information of its own. I'm always a proponent of framing the fortune teller over killing them. But that's... Leviathan, you have no choice. I always win that argument in Leviathan. You got to frame that fortune teller because you can't kill them.
That's right.
If the fortune teller is going to get 5 days of information, fortune teller is not an example script, but it is on a fair number of Leviathan scripts. Like, that's going to be devastating. Someone on your team needs to put out the information that, hey, maybe we can't trust this fortune teller, because you have no other choice.
I think Leviathan's kind of a really good skill-building demon in that sense, because it forces you to roll with the punches and adapt to the information that's being created, because you probably can't delete it. So, it teaches you to understand at short notice how your plans need to change on a day-by-day basis. And subtly change what you were about to say mid-thought to reflect what somebody else has just brought to town.
I agree with that. I think one of the interesting things, and it's a little bit buried in some of the advice on the wiki, but one of the interesting things it mentions is try to create simpler worlds, right? Towns will often follow simple explanations, and building a complex sort of Rube Goldberg machine of information sometimes will work in a script where people are dying off and you can kind of sell people as demons who've died or star passes or, you know, Scarlet Woman or whatever. In a Leviathan, you know, you don't have all of that sort of crazy stuff to fall back on. Most of the time, you're going to need a pretty simple and straightforward world that's going to, and it doesn't take a lot, that's just going to get down to just kill not you. You know, ultimately, there's lots of people out there to kill. It's just not me.
Yeah, one of those simpler and straightforward worlds that I've found does do quite a bit in Leviathan games, and is a good skill-building game for other scripts where that character's on, is Fake Snake Charmings are really effective in Leviathan games for the team.
I was thinking exactly that.
Because it's super simple. I used to be the demon, I'm not anymore, it's day 5, you can't kill us both. This player who's been being weird, they must be the Snake Charmer.
Yeah, that's so hard to pull off in other situations because there's very often like what can you say to the notion of okay, let's execute you so we trust you this more? That's simply not an option in Leviathan. You have to start trusting people or not trusting them.
Yeah, there was one game I played of actually this script where, I was the spy. I saw the Snake Charmer on the Grim Day 1. I went up to them and said, "Hey, here's a bluff you can use." Day 5 comes around. They haven't executed my demon yet. Everyone's been suspicious of their bullshit amnesiac ability because it's doesn't seem to be the most helpful thing in the world. And I'm just like, yeah, I was the Leviathan. They stay charmed me. They knew I was the spy, and they still lost the argument.
Oh yeah, I was about to say a minion, you know, can pull that play just as well as a demon can, and it's a great play. It's very
destructive. Yeah, I really like the Snake Charmer on Leviathan. Yeah, it's less of a death sentence, I think, for the former Snake Charmer than it is on other scripts, too.
And if you don't hit the demon, it's super powerful.
Oh, massively, yeah.
5 days of 5 people who are not the demon, unless you've chickened out. And then you have, I assume, 1 day of one person who's not the demon. And they probably got executed.
Yeah, it's definitely worth reaching for that information, despite the risk of it blowing back on you. Because, yeah, it's like every time you pick somebody and you don't become the demon, that is essentially an execution that you have created that didn't exist in the game before.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
What else do we think about as playing as the Leviathan, besides just bluffing loudly and taking risks and being bold and framing people?
All the normal stuff. You know, Leviathan is also, I think, a demon that benefits highly from sort of figuring out outsiders to an extent, especially early in the game. Outsiders, depending on the script, don't necessarily make the best frames in Leviathan games because the outsider count is going to tend to get sorted to some greater or lesser extent. Again, it's a little script dependent, but outsiders are going to be more likely to come out because they're mostly going to have effects that aren't going to be sort of negative effects to the town, unless they can't or, you know, they're sort of benefited not to. You know, a lunatic is likely to come out, you know, butlers come out, and ogres probably maybe do or maybe don't, you know, mutants will, and, you know, maybe if they get killed. But so I think it's a demon where if you can identify outsiders, it's pretty helpful for you in terms of sort of having a good read of the Grim. I think Grim reading is sort of heavily advantaged by for the Leviathan, even if players are more likely to sort of out their roles a little bit earlier.
Yeah, and like being able to identify where those outsiders are early on will be really important to make sure that you don't build worlds that fall apart. Because if you're trying to go along with what the good team has and explain it away using your information, it's going to be a bad look when it turns out in 3 days that person was the mutant and now you've wiped out like multiple demon candidates because it was based on lies.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess the more you can figure out about the information ecosystem before you commit to things, the better.
Whatever you're bluffing, the earlier you can settle into it, right, the better off you're going to be, the more stable your bluff is going to be when you get to the end. So the sooner you can figure out, you know, really by day 3, you need to be stable in whatever bluff you're taking and have, you know, information that the town is going to believe.
Yeah, I mean, because for the same reason why, like, the good team is more likely to come out with their information, you don't have the excuse of, oh, I was worried that the evil team would kill me.
Right.
So if you are going to lie about what you are, you need to have a plausible reason for doing that. And it might be, depending on what you're bluffing, I was afraid of being poisoned. That can be a thing. Sure. But not, like, usually, most Leviathan scripts have something to disrupt information. But, like, you've got to... The balance of when you should come out versus how much you should play into that paranoia is a bit different on it. So, yeah, the earlier you can commit to something, the better. It's why I think, I mean, not to jump ahead a little bit, but I think the SNCC is a little bit underrated in Leviathan environments, because it's one of those situations where the minions really, really benefit from having bluffs early on.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. And another thing I think that I always think about when I'm playing Leviathan games is, you know, press your luck rolls, things like, and you've got them here, artist, seamstress, philosopher. Press your luck rolls are going to be more likely to be able to hold those powers until late in the game. And so, you know, if you're the Leviathan, you know, you got to be looking for them, because you probably need to frame them if they're going to get info late. And also, if you've got that as a bluff, or you want to bluff that, you know, you do have a reason to hold it longer. And maybe, you know, it's kind of a weird thing where, you know, bluffing a powerful ongoing information roll, or bluffing a press your luck who's actually bluffing an ongoing information roll, might be like the way to, you know, you're like the seamstress bluffing general or something, you know, as opposed to that, where maybe a press your luck roll is something where you can hide it just a little bit longer, or it's something you can back into if your first bluff falls apart for whatever reason.
Yeah. I do really like the dynamic of those characters in the context of Leviathan, because, like, in some ways it's often like hard to separate the pressure lock character going deep and waiting and getting really, really important information, because they have the whole context of like 10 people's 3 days of information behind them, versus an evil player who's just like, oh, it's day 4 and now I get to make up the perfect frameable artist question that of course sets the exact person you think up as the demon. And so, yeah, it's kind of a nice self-balancing aspect of those powerful characters that I like.
Yeah. I think, like, in Leviathan, without the benefit of a snitch, because not all times either snitch might not be in play or it's not there, like, it behooves the evil team to talk a little earlier than they might always do to make sure minions get stable blocks pretty quickly.
Yeah, I totally agree. You want to... I mean, I think it's useful to have minions on the script that can alleviate that pressure a little bit as well. So a Grim Peaker is usually a valuable choice on Leviathan for a variety of reasons, but partly because they don't necessarily need to talk to their demon day one. The Marionette obviously doesn't need to talk to the demon on day one because they have a token already. But yeah, a mixture of characters that do and don't is common, I would say, on the Leviathan script. And so, yeah, unless you're specifically thinking, oh, I think I would like my pit hag to end up using this, like, mutant token I got given as a bluff because the storyteller hates me, then I should go and help them out early on.
Yeah.
It's sort of okay also late in game as a Leviathan to look more evil than you might normally want to as a demon, especially once there's been the first execution. You don't necessarily want to look like, you know, definitely a minion. Because town might, you know, if their first execution's on day 3, town might execute you on day 4, and then you're out of luck. But on day 5, late day 4 into day 5, it's sort of okay to look evil as long as you look like a minion, I think. You know, it's kind of okay to play a little fast and loose there, because town thinking that you're evil and a minion probably means they don't execute you on the final day.
Yeah, outed evil on Leviathan is a really fine line to walk. Because you kind of can't risk it before day 5, because there's nothing worse than giving the town a free execution.
But
if when there are so many choices on the final day, it's often only takes one thing to write somebody off as the day's execution, and they seem like a minion, as you said, is such a simple thing to say, but it will resonate with voters.
Yeah, because X-Unit, yeah. And these are things that are all, I think, generally true to an extent. They just become accentuated by Leviathan because of the removal of executions from the good team.
Yeah, it's interesting how it sort of emphasizes some of the really basic play patterns that we kind of talk about for all the demons, but then really makes them really important to focus on. And as George's point earlier, kind of makes it a really good training demon in a way. Like, it makes it a good practice demon, sort of practice some skills that you might not be comfortable practicing elsewhere because you just have the time.
Yeah, it's like wearing a blindfold to, like, focus on your hearing a bit better.
Seems right.
I think that's a good analogy.
Yeah, I think that's very correct.
We've talked a lot about what I think as plain as the Leviathan. Let's talk a little bit about how to fight the Leviathan when you're the good team in a Leviathan game, which you happen to know because the Leviathan gets announced.
Yep. Yeah, because handy. I think the main place I would start is actually use your executions. Well, I would be strongly encouraging the good team to have serious conversations about executing somebody on day two. You probably won't get there. Most of the time when I see this happens, you're not actually going to end up executing somebody, but you should be, I think, making nominations that you mean on day two and seeing what the reactions to those nominations are. Tracking voting patterns is really important as a skill in any game of London Clock Tower, I think. And the fact that the execution probably won't happen doesn't mean that there is no information to be gained from applying a little bit of pressure in a certain direction. Establishing early where your suspicions are, explaining why in public and seeing what people do about it is it's the groundwork you need to lay so that you can expand on that and help people further their information from that point, knowing the state of the game. Don't be hesitant to use those resources. You can execute a good player, so take the risk of doing it once.
Yeah, and I think you want your first execution really to be on day three, because you can get three executions in the game, right? You get a day three execution on a good or an evil player. If you get a day two execution and you haven't executed two good players, that's very strong information. Now, that second execution, you want to be pretty sure that you have got an evil in those two people, but if you've got those two players dead and the game's continuing, it means one of them is evil, and that's really powerful information to have.
There's, you know, most things in life, when people think about their risk analysis, they only think about the risk of, I do this and the bad thing happens. They don't often think about, which in the Leviathan cases, you use your day three and day four executions on two good players and you lose. They don't think enough about the risk of not being risky and not taking enough risks, which is a real thing. Like, to use an example completely unrelated for Bottom of the Clock Tower, 10, 11 years ago, most of us heard of what Bitcoin was, thought it sounded pretty stupid, had the opportunity to buy them for a dollar and didn't. At the end of the day, a dollar is not that valuable, and you'd be a billionaire if you had invested the dollar into something you thought was stupid. Not being risky enough is itself a risk.
It's the opportunity cost, right?
Yeah, so with Leviathan, it's okay to lose sometimes to the Leviathan win condition. If you're never losing to the Leviathan win con, you're probably not being taking enough risks to maximize yourself as a good team.
Yeah, you're probably just losing to the Leviathan if you're not losing to the Leviathan.
That's exactly right, right? You get to the final day without that knowledge that one of two people is guaranteed to be evil. It's making it harder to solve the game. There's also one more person who's a demon candidate, right? That one person that you didn't execute, they're still a demon candidate, which means you've now haven't reduced your probability of hitting the demon, even just by random.
Yeah, absolutely. The fact that, there are the difference between 10 and 9 candidates at the end is big, and the fact that you don't get to rule many people out doesn't mean you shouldn't rule those people out, because it is striking at the misinformation of the evil team, and will get you closer to winning. And usually you can find a player between two that you're pretty confident is evil. Like, Leviathan scripts tends to have a lot of information on them, and that should be more than possible.
Yeah, and we're still playing two players who are in conflict, and their conflict is probably because one of them is evil.
Yeah, it's quite hard to explain double claims as good deep into a Leviathan game. Usually that's only going to happen between evil players. It might be between two evil players as a tactic to make you think only one of them is good. But yeah, if you do find a genuine double claim and it's day four, yeah, kill into that. It'll do something.
And it's not just double claims, right? Just on this script, right? There's Investigator and Seamstress here. Those can generate information about players in conflict, and they can also themselves be evils bluffing that role, right? But if you've got three people who are in this conflict, killing two of them has a chance of figuring out the problem and getting you a minion dead. They're probably just a minion. While we said earlier might be a good... we lost George for a second. That's fine.
This is fine, George.
Wait. I'll cut this part out. Anyway, you're fine. We said earlier, they're probably just a minion is something maybe you want people to say about you as the Leviathan. But the reverse is true for town. If someone is probably just a minion, maybe kill them, because killing minions doesn't cost one of your good executions. You know, if you're pretty confident someone's a minion, get them out of there.
Yeah. Also, the minion not being able to nominate on the final day is really big news, because it makes it more valuable when the good team like coalesces and like agrees on the options, because it can only take one half convincing nomination at the wrong time to ruin your day. So yeah, the fewer bullshit noms there are at the end, the better for your team.
And the killing a minion early really takes away their voting power as well, right? They're not gonna spend their dead vote early in a Leviathan game most of the time, and if they do, right, it sure looks like the person they're voting on might be a good player that you may not want to kill.
Yeah,
bluffability and all that. But you know, so you're taking away their ability to influence the game for several days with their vote. In addition to that. What do we think about good players and sharing information in a Leviathan game? We talked a lot about in the how to play the Leviathan part about good players sharing information and how you deal with that. What advice should we give to good players about sharing your information? There's a Poisoner and a Serenovus on this script. There's also a Spy. You know, when you look at maybe in the example of this script, I mean, we could think of some other scripts. What should good players do with all that powerful information that they're getting for 5 days? When do you share it? How do you get it out there?
You should be more active about sharing your information early. There's much less reasons to hide. Take, like, a basic example. Unlike Trouble Brewing, if it's a fortune teller who gets a no-night one on two players, there's pretty good reason. Like, it's at least arguable that you should hide that information for a bit, not let anyone know that these players are confirmed, maybe even not let people know you're the fortune teller so you can try to gain more information without being poisoned. On the Leviathan, if the good team has the... There's almost no reason to do any of that. Like,
yeah.
Letting people know that two players are definitely not the demon on the night you're least likely to be randomly poisoned, super powerful. Because it lets other players start building that into their worlds.
Yeah, and not spending their own abilities checking those players as well.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, avoiding the double up is really, really good. As big a spread of coverage as you can, and it's quite easy to do in Leviathan because you're all going to be alive and active.
I think role swaps are extremely valuable on Leviathan as a way of dodging minion abilities more than dodging getting killed. If you find someone that you think is probably good, just give them, and again, this goes back a little bit to, hey, just tell one person your role. If you tell two people your role, you probably told the evil team. But if you've got one person you kind of feel comfortable at getting into a swap with, just swap your roles and just give them your information and have them get it out there, right? Worst comes to worst, they're getting poisoned and you're not. Similarly, if someone else has outed a powerful, loud townsfolk role that's getting over, getting repetitive information on day one, feel free to out yours. Only one of the two of you is going to be poisoned, and maybe you can track that back.
Yeah, absolutely. Like once a horse has got out of the gate there, you might as well all run. It's gonna happen at the same time.
Yeah. You'll see like Savant on a lot of Leviathan scripts because it's a really good Leviathan tool for the storyteller. It's a really good concept in general. This is generally true of Savant. If you try to share 5 days of Savant information on day 5, I'm not going to listen to any of them.
Yeah.
If you give me 1 day of a Savant information at a time, I'll listen to all of them and incorporate them to what I'm thinking. Please, as the Savant of the Leviathan script, when you don't have to worry about being killed, when you're going to get your 5 days of information, tell them to me.
Please share it every day. Just share it.
Yeah, completely 100% agree. Savants miss out on wins because they wait too long, and there's just no reason.
There's no excuse for it on the Leviathan. None at all. You have no justification for this.
And I just, because we're not going to be covering Savant in this series, but I just want to mention something about Savant. If you think about that kind of information, right? If you think about the information that Savant gets, it really needs time to parse it out, right? If you give 5 days of Savant information, you're giving 10 statements that have mixed truth and falsehood values that a person is going to have to sit and solve. Then if you give them out on the final day, the person's maybe got 3 minutes to solve them, and then they've still got to convince other people that the solve is right. So they've got to figure out all that information and then figure it out. And maybe you think you've solved it, but everybody else needs the time to process that. In a Leviathan game, you can give people the time not only to solve it out every day, but to compare the statements back and forth every day. And this is the part that savants really need to understand, people can keep thinking about that information at night, during the night phase. They can parse the information when they're not actively in conversations and playing the game with other people, and their processing isn't split. They can take the 3 or 4 minutes that the night phase takes, or 5 minutes or whatever it takes. Leviathan night phase is usually quicker. But they can take those minutes to actually process the information in their brain without having to be in a conversation with someone else while they're doing it. And in person, this is an even bigger deal because you're also trying to remember the Savant information, right? You're trying to hold it all in your head. You're trying to hold everything else in your head. You're not like, you don't necessarily have notes in front of you. And even if you do take notes, you're scribbling as fast as you can on final day. Please get the information out. Who cares if you got poisoned one day? You know?
Preach. Yeah. One of my least favorite things to hear is an outed Savant telling me at night, I'll share my information tomorrow.
No!
My brother in Christ, we're here now.
Saying anything, say it now.
If they're gonna kill you for being the Savant, they're gonna do it anyway. Then,
yeah, as soon as everyone knows you're the Savant, just tell everyone.
Yeah, and by the way, we all saw you go talk to the storyteller, okay?
Yeah, I mean, so in terms of information sharing, I would say the Leviathan is a situation that encourages the good team to talk through their possible nominations before they make it, especially in the final day, which is going to be really crowded with so many. Probably you're going to get several nominations on the last day. Don't just like rush into it and be like, hey, I'm pretty sure it's X, and then do the explanation after the fact. People need to be on board before you do it because they have other choices and they won't be pressured into it.
And Leviathan also usually is going to have limited sources of misinformation anyway, right? Because it's replacing that elimination of players with powerful information. And so, yes, there will be some misinformation sources, but there's not going to be a lot. And so you have to remember things like, this script has, a poisoner that can create misinformation and a philosopher that can create misinformation. And that's it. If three people are saying their information is messed up, one of them's evil. Get him.
Absolutely.
Any other thoughts about how to go up against the Leviathan? Any other sort of specifics on, what to do in various situations?
I think I think we've hit the main points I have for fighting the Leviathan, which is take your risks, take your shot, shoot your shots, and share your information.
I wanted to ask one specific question about the townsfolk in Leviathan, and this is a little bit more an interesting interactions, but I wanted to mention it here because for the good team, it does come into your execution strategy. If you do have a character on the script, and this one doesn't have one, but if you do have something like King, Undertaker, or Cannibal on the script, you really want to think about the cost benefit of killing early versus getting the information or ability that role can provide you, you know, the effect that role can provide you. And maybe we'll talk about that more in interesting interactions, but I want to point it out here because Emma talked about, you know, risk aversion and people not taking risks that benefit them. Like, if there's a role on the script that gets an advantage from executing, like, let's say on day one or day two, maybe you take the shot. Maybe not on day one, but maybe you take the shot on day two and get that extra day of information, right? You have to make that cost-benefit analysis.
Yeah, absolutely. Your ability to make that analysis effectively is... I'm here. I've been here the whole time. I've heard you perfectly. Anyway, where was I? I'll start from the beginning. Yeah, so your ability to make that analysis, I think, is supported by the incentive to out your information earlier. It gives you that the chance to make this is correctly. And it's, I would say, rare for there to be a lot or even any characters on Leviathan that care about specific executions. But if they're there, use them. It'll be more fun for the players and more effective for your team. So if you have an empath on the script, consider executing one of their neighbors. It's going to be doubling the amount of information they get for the whole game.
Yeah. And you know, if you're something like a push your luck role and you're saying to everybody, you know, hey, I'm going to go to the end of the game. I'm going to save everything and save this and use it on day four or day five. Maybe be a little unpredictable if you want to dodge a minion. Maybe use it a day earlier or a day later, you know, don't just because you say something doesn't mean you have to do it that way. Right. So, Don't just think about the direct risk. Think about the indirect risk and the value your information can provide the earlier you get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that will obviously change depending on what's in the script. I think that's one of the ways in which characters like the Cannibal, which seem weird on Leviathan, can be really interesting when they introduce that decision point for the once per game characters. Where, if I'm a seamstress on a Leviathan Cannibal script, all of a sudden maybe I do want to use my ability early and be the good execution that we all know is the good execution and get an enormous amount of value from my information.
The once per game characters are, on average, substantially more powerful in what they're doing than the recurring info characters, because that's the trade off of what they have.
Right.
So, if you can duplicate that with a Cannibal or a Pixie. You might want to take the risk that you get to be the good execution for the benefit of duplicating those roles.
Yeah, it should be very rare that you volunteer to be the execution on Leviathan. Most of the time, I would expect good players to be I know I'm spent or whatever, but don't kill me, I'm a good player. But you should never rule it out completely. You just have to weigh up how valuable it is compared to the step you take closer to losing.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, go ahead.
Should we move on to storytelling? Yeah,
I think we should move on to storytelling for the Leviathan. And we did skip, earlier we did skip a little bit talking about errata and specifically about notable jinxes and things like that. And there's a reason for that, but we probably need to talk about it here before we get into talking about selecting a script to storytell for the Leviathan. There are some jinxes for the Leviathan, and there are some, I'm going to just say, interesting interactions. Again, we usually do that later, but there are some interesting interactions that we might want to discuss about.
There's kind of a lot of spillover from this.
Yeah,
this
I think,
topic.
In terms of finding a script for Leviathan and the jinxes for the Leviathan, I think these are going to go pretty, it's not going to be a comprehensive thing, list of things to avoid, but it's going to be a starting point of what to look for in a script of Leviathan.
I'll just start because I think it's just worth saying this off the top with Leviathan. Anything that creates extra kills is generally going to be very bad for the Leviathan because it eliminates the benefit that the demon gets, period.
Yeah, it's an absolute nightmare. The assassin is heavily incentivized to never use it.
I draw like witch or psychopath and Leviathan's Grip, and these are characters I'd love to be. The witch curse is going on myself every day, and I'm never nominating. And the psychopath axe is going to be hidden, and hopefully they never execute me and learn that I'm not the demon.
Yeah. Reducing the probability that any one person is the demon more than the two executions the town already gets is hugely detrimental to the evil. So when you're selecting a script for a Leviathan game, I would genuinely say that any character that generates additional kills beyond the executions that town gets is probably disqualifying. I wouldn't look at that script.
Yeah, I would extend that to another entire category of characters, which is people that survive execution. So in a vacuum, I can imagine like the pacifist being kind of interesting with Leviathan, right? You're like, oh God, we might lose, but hey, let's test it. And they're good, huge payoff, incredible. The problem with the pacifist and characters like the Tea Lady is that you need to be able to give evil the bluffing space to play as those characters. And that essentially means you have to include a devil's advocate. And that is absolutely the worst thing you could possibly do on a Leviathan script.
George, can you explain more about why having a DA on a Leviathan script doesn't work great?
Sure, yeah. So, if the devil's advocate is alive on day 5, which, as a reminder, they will be, they can choose the demon, and good can simply not win. So, the only option that the good team has is to correctly identify the devil's advocate before the end of day 4, and maybe execute them twice, in case. And that's the only way they could not definitively lose. It's not the most fun in the world. So again, that's another huge swathe of characters. I'm just like, it's not worth it. Bin them all off.
The second side of that is the pacifist and Tea Lady abilities are somewhat weaker than they normally would be, and they're less townsfolky because they still count as the execution for the Leviathan. Doesn't care if players die. They care if players are executed.
So it's not really helping, is what you're saying.
It's helping a little. It's nice to know someone's confirmed good.
Yeah. Yeah, confirmation is really good if you can get it.
Sure.
But it's a little less useful than sort of softer confirmation that doesn't eat one of your executions.
You know, speaking of confirmation rolls, you know, direct confirmation rolls do kind of create some problems. And I'm thinking really specifically of the Virgin here. The Virgin doesn't really work with Leviathan, because if you do confirm a townsfolk, they have been executed and die, which isn't great for the good team. So Virgin is another character that doesn't work super great with Leviathan.
It's also absolutely disastrous for the evil team, because if the Virgin doesn't go off, well, I guess I know he's getting executed today.
I do see Virgin on some scripts, if you do happen to be playing a Virgin Leviathan script, please do not play Hidden Virgin on those scripts.
Seems important to let people know.
Do not look to accidentally cause an execution. That's really bad in Leviathan scripts.
Also, maybe don't get yourself executed. Like, don't nominate yourself there. That's probably not going to help your team.
Yeah. There's just no elegant way to deal with it. It should not be allowed.
Should we get into the jinx pile? Because there's quite a lot of jinxes with Leviathan as well. And maybe we could categorize them slightly. Should we talk about Demon Banes? That's the kind of the biggest thing, right? Because Leviathan doesn't kill.
Yeah. There's a whole category of characters. Farmer, Banshee, Soldier, Ravenkeeper.
Sage.
Their entire ability is based around trying to get the demon to attack them at night. So to make them work with Leviathan, you have to have these really, frankly, a little janky jinxes that give them a completely different ability that no one knows about. They can maybe work. I think it's normally just best to avoid them.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing, because the Leviathan doesn't just get sprinkled onto every script. So a bunch of these jinxes are things you're going to encounter. Like, if you happens to play a script with Leviathan and a Demon Bane on it, you probably haven't done so in the preceding 6 months, at least. So you're going to have to start the game actually telling, like, what you're meant to do, theoretically, at the start of any game, is explain the jinxes to your players. Most of the time, this will not be an issue, but you really should tell your players, because they almost certainly have forgotten what it was. And then you just have all this admin, because you have to do the gigs in case the things are in play, and sometimes they're not. And nobody's having any fun. Everyone's confused.
And by the way, the broad structure of the jinxes for most of those is each night you wake up Leviathan and have them pick a different good player that they have not picked before. And if they pick the character in question, or maybe if they miss the character, I genuinely don't remember how they all work, but I think it's if they pick the character in question, something happens. And they just, it's a great way to make those, I guess it's a great way to make it so those characters are vaguely functional together, but probably avoid them. Nobody really knows how they work that well.
Yeah. I mean, I do genuinely appreciate the attempt to make these characters functional. Because
it's a noble idea.
You need options. One of the things that I'm very grateful that people seem to like Midnight Sun. But it's kind of a script that a lot of it was built out of necessity. Like, I had like 15 townsfolk that I thought could just viably at all go on the script. And I picked 13 of them. You have similar issues with outsiders and minions. Your choices narrow down a great deal.
Real fast.
Most things, like even if you sort of squint, are not really worth it. And all the Demon Bane jinxes, I think, are in that category. It's like, you technically get a character out of it, but nah.
An educational challenge for our viewers/listeners. Try to make a Leviathan script. See what you think when you put characters on the script and think about how they interact. That's going to teach you a lot about the Leviathan and what characters work well and what characters don't work with it. And also, go read the jinxes. We're not going to read them all. There's a lot.
There's too many of them. It would just be silly. There's a bunch.
The one I would say is, like, the Mayor jinx, I think, is fine. It mostly just accounts for the fact that the game won't have three people alive at the end of it. You do basically get a functional version of the Mayor, and it works how people would expect it to.
The text is, if the Leviathan is in play and no execution occurs on day 5, good wins. That's the Mayor jinx text. And it effectively makes the Mayor function normally in a Leviathan game. So that's not so bad.
I think the other one that I am somewhat partial to is the King jinx, which is...
I like that one too.
The King jinx is, once you execute the player, the King starts learning their own formation. Which it creates like a more interesting question on like day 2 or even day 1, which is, do we want to execute into a potential evil so the King can turn on?
It might even be better than the regular King in other demon games.
It's certainly interesting. It's like half of your allotted executions rather than like half of the player total, you know, which is kind of a neat thing. The protectors, I guess I'll mention the protectors. The innkeeper and the monk protect players from all evil abilities rather than just from the DE killing. I don't know if that's a good jinx or a bad jinx, but it makes them have something to do with this.
Yeah.
So now we get into Scritzel.
So once you got through all of that.
We went with George's script here. George, do you want to tell us a little bit about this script and it's sort of what you were thinking in it? And, you know, just we've kind of talked a bit about it. But
sure. I mean, so this was originally written for the Ogre contest when that character was first released. And I picked Leviathan partly because I just hadn't done Leviathan script yet at all. I thought the Ogre was as good a fit as any. I do quite like the Ogre on Leviathan. It has that element of you probably won't get definitive proof of what team you're on. And like, depending on who you've picked, I certainly run in circles where I'm not necessarily going to know what team I'm on, even if I ask my ogre friend what team I'm on. So you not having direct confirmation through all the people dying creates an interesting situation for the ogre as they try to figure out what they should be selling. And so, yeah, I built a lot of the script out from there. The townsfolk, as I said, kind of picked themselves. Most everything I tried just straight up didn't work. And so there's probably have been a couple since that I have been released I could look at adding on to. But they're mostly just pretty useful information. the Amnesiac was one of the last things I put on. It does require a little more care on the Leviathan scripts, the Amnesiac, than usual. If you have like stock abilities that you use, make sure you don't do something silly like, oh, each night learn whether a minion was nominated or executed or that kind of thing. Yeah, execution based abilities are not good.
The Amnesiac is given 5 days to solve their information, which is one of the reasons Amnesiac can fizzle for a player in a game. Is they die early, they don't know what their ability does because they can have time. It's just like, well, this is a done of a game for you. You don't have to worry about that in Leviathan, which makes them a decent pair.
Yeah, Amnesiac's great with Leviathan, where you get all that time, get all those chances at figuring out what you're doing. Another one that you see often on Leviathan scripts, and George has it here, is Dreamer, because it is one of the ones that does work quite well with Leviathan. And I know what people are going to think is like, oh, but you'll just see the Leviathan. Well, yes, you will just see the Leviathan. You'll see the Leviathan many times. You will see the Leviathan for several days in a row. And that's perfectly fine. Remember that the Dreamer sees a good and an evil roll. They don't just see a good roll. So they're going to hit mutants that look like Leviathans and ogres that look like Leviathans and magicians that look like Leviathans and all sorts of other things.
But that's also really powerful. The Dreamer, like you mentioned the mutant, has a really fine line to walk in Leviathan.
Oh, yeah.
And being able to get confirmation on them without them having to say in public, I'm the mutant, is incredibly valuable. It's one of the first things I tried to do as a Dreamer on Leviathan script is find the outsiders. And it also comes with the high likelihood that you are sober most of the time. It's not on a Vortox script, which is a very common demon to appear with a Dreamer. That information is really strong and can get you credibility early on, which is super valuable in proving on a demon.
I think something to be careful with the Dreamer and Leviathan is, remember, anyone the Dreamer sees as a minion is someone not worth executing.
Yeah.
So you probably really should only show minions on real minions, unless it's absolutely necessary to sell some world that a particular player is a minion, a particular good player is a minion. Like, it's clear it's a marionette game, and evil is framing one of their neighbors. You're going to be showing a lot more demons than you would on, like, S&B.
Maybe you show the Snake Charmer as a minion, just in case of the hit, but...
Yeah. Yeah, it is, I think, one of the strongest... Like, I think often, on any script, one of the strongest townsfolk, but specifically on the Leviathan, it is really powerful, and can sometimes feel a little bit limiting for a storyteller because of the necessity to show the demon so frequently. If I remember correctly, it was one of the last townsfolk I put on the script for that reason. It sometimes can feel unsatisfying in a way that I think is kind of common to the Dreamer as a character broadly. But yeah, it does create really useful information and occasionally really interesting information.
And you've given the script a spy here as well, interacts with Dreamer in an interesting way. And also can be can be bluffing Dreamer or Librarian, which I think is an underrated thing that people often don't realize, is Librarians are often on scripts without Grim Peekers or without ways for town to get that information. And it's pretty important to have that covered most of the time. Shall we build a little bag for this?
Yeah, we can build a little bag so we can talk about some things that you might want to watch out for storytelling. Now, obviously in a Leviathan script, everything needs to work with Leviathan. So there is no characters we have to worry about putting in play. At least not with our focus character for Leviathan. They all have to work.
Usually we just kind of go around and pick some characters, George. I guess we didn't explain that
part. Sure. That part was alien doing.
Yep. So feel free to kind of, obviously Leviathan's going to be on here. What's a character that maybe you want to explore? We're gonna deal this bag and kind of take a look at the interactions. What's something you think has a lot of value or interest to kind of go in this bag?
Sure. I think an interesting one is the in a two outsider situation. I think the Baron is an interesting choice to make early on. This primarily affects whether how likely the lunatic is to figure out what's going on. because it, once the mutant gets exposed, it can be clear that there are four outsiders in the game, whether you knew that or not. I think you want to, that's probably the first choice I make for minions, whether I'm putting the Baron in or not.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time talking here about some various different things. I think we talked quite a bit about Dreamer, and I think Dreamer is a pretty good fit here, so I think there's going to be a lot of interesting things we can show with it. Putting the Dreamer in, because if the Dreamer does see the Baron and believe that they are the Baron, it confirms a lot of players, but that's powerful for good.
Yeah.
I think, like, with a setup like this, I actually really like a marionette, because making one of those outsiders potentially evil can help with the outsider problem a bit.
Yeah, that's a really good point. As you say, outsiders being confirmed can be a very big deal in a Leviathan situation. So being able to throw a little bit of doubt on that is really useful. And that's the sort of thing you can play into as well with characters like the Savant.
I think something else that's useful is giving Town a starting point and giving Town some information that they can work off of. Because we've put Baron and Marionette in the bag, we can't give Investigator. We don't want to really show either of those minions to Town to give a bunch of confirmation. But something we can do is put a Steward in the bag. A Steward can help sort of define a player who's not going to be on the evil team. And that can help give Town a starting point that they can work from, even if that's just an outsider.
Yeah, totally agree. Probably the one person I wouldn't show this to is the Snake Charmer, but otherwise, most things here are good choices for it.
Sounds like a Snake Charmer doesn't bluff.
Yeah, I think a Snake Charmer is a really great choice here. With all the outsiders in play, we probably don't want a Magician. That's maybe a little bit too much lack of information for the good team. So something that can get adaptable information, something we've talked about a little bit, either Savant or Amnesiac. I think a Savant is probably the right choice here. And why not have an Amnesiac so we can talk about a possible ability?
Absolutely. And then maybe we go for one of our once-per-game characters who has to make that decision of how long to hold it.
That seems good. Sure. Which one do you like? Artist, perfect.
Salt.
So looking at this Grim, obviously the first choice we absolutely have to make is where we're going to put our Marionette. And boy did we get a draw.
That is a lot of, well, I mean, we did and we didn't. Yes. Yeah. My eyes bugged out at the Dreamer, and then I realized there's a lunatic in the bag.
That's right.
But it still rules. This is still really cool.
So we have a lot we could do now, because we can show some interesting things to this lunatic. But where do we want to put our Marionette token?
It's obviously like I want to say Butler. The heart says Butler. I don't know if.
I think the evil team would prefer the artist most of the time.
I think they would too.
Artist and is the tool for evil here.
Yeah, and the fact so the artist like will probably get information about where the Leviathan is, and the fact that they are sat next to the Leviathan, I mean, has already some element of like paranoia from the Marionette. But the fact that their question will probably implicate the real demon as being the demon will work against worlds where the artist is the Marionette and then make it a rougher deal for evil.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's strong. The other question, of course, we have is what are we going to show our lunatic in terms of minions? We're certainly going to start out by showing the Dreamer as the Marionette, I think.
100%.
There's almost no world where we don't show that. and that's just because it's fun and interesting, right? And it maybe makes the Dreamer question their ability and question what's going to happen with them. Who else might we show? There's some options.
Now, often it's so tempting to say, show the Baron. The Baron is the kind of minion that is down for a good time when it comes to fooling the lunatic. I might have an alternative suggestion for this situation
as well, so please, George.
I think the Leviathan is a good example of a script where you can give the lunatic a lunatic, because you are not directing the demon's kills for them. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of sitting there and figuring it out. So this might be a situation where I might say, give the lunatic two good minions, but maybe have the Baron be their lunatic.
I like it.
I like that a lot. I think an ogre is also a place where you can interestingly put a minion for a lunatic. The snake charmer makes an interesting lunatic minion. Players who are likely to be lying and won't necessarily want to confirm their role, at least directly. Something is certainly going to happen.
That was my first thought for that minion.
You can also, with a lunatic on Leviathan, with with magician on the script, you can also take full advantage of that to give a third minion.
Yes, totally.
Yep.
And make it harder for the lunatic to solve.
Yeah, and so for example, show the amnesiac as a magician.
It's one of those that it makes it harder for them to solve in the early days, but if it becomes clear that there is no actual magician in play, it will make it easier for them to solve it in the long term, which may or may not be a thing you want to happen. But it will get exposed once it becomes clear that nobody is claiming magician.
And I think this is really valuable because it might feel a little unfair if the ogre picks an evil and the ogre is framing being a minion and the dreamer is marionetted and they're not sure, right? It might feel a little unfair for the lunatic. So giving them a third minion who's definitely not the thing that they are going to think that they are is probably going to help quite a lot.
Yeah.
The other thing we need to figure out. What do we show the steward here? I'm partial to showing the savant, I think. They're going to get a lot of information that's difficult to... that is going to have to be parsed, but it is powerful, and it does give evil something of a target in someone that they may need to push on later if that confirmation comes out.
Yeah. It might be a little scary because there's no... we haven't put either of the disruption minions into the bag here. So that savant's information is going to be completely legit the whole game. And if it is completely sober and highly trusted through the steward, I'm not saying we shouldn't do it, but we may have to be a little bit careful about the kind of information we give the savant, because it is probably going to be taken very seriously.
The other spot I might look at a steward being really useful here is the mutant. Just because they're going to be being weird. And, learning that this isn't someone you have to worry about, even though they're being a little bit weird, pretty helpful for the good team.
I just want to point this out, I probably wouldn't put the steward ping on the butler here. The reason being that if later in the game the Leviathan's information bluff falls apart, it might be useful for them to be able to claim to be a neighbor's minion, or a marionette, rather. So we don't necessarily want to take that away. Obviously, they've got the artist in seat 4 to do that with. But if the artist is kind of building worlds, we really want to try to, give them the space to get that one.
They might also try to marionette the butler, in which case a steward ping could be awkward for them.
Yeah. It's a pretty interesting setup. Yeah. Any other thoughts about this layout?
I guess the only thing we have to talk about at this point is the amnesiac ability.
Yeah, and that's gonna be tricky, I think.
Yes, because one thing you can often do with an amnesiac here is help them detect where the disruption is happening, but there's nothing to detect here. There's not even a lot of reminder tokens for them to think about. I wonder if we can give them something like... You also don't want to overlap with the dreamer particularly. You don't want to be saying, okay, this character is in play or isn't in play, because you have a tool for that already. I mean, we could potentially give them something about... if I was going to give them something related to their themselves nominating, I think you need to give them some kind of cue to clue them into that being a thing at the start of the game. I wouldn't want to just have the amnesiac figure out that they need to nominate somebody, but that is an avenue you could take as a vector to create information.
Yeah.
maybe something interesting, and this is like a just a kind of very workshoppy version of it. Each night select a player. The first outsider you select in this way gains an additional ability that night.
Yeah, I think something like that could be good. Yeah.
That could be useful.
Brings the hell out of lunatic.
And it sort of like substitutes in for the artists we lost in that way, right? Because the artists have the ability to create some custom information as needed in the moment, and it's now the amnesia.
Yeah, so the amnesia
in a slightly stronger way.
Yeah, and you know, it gives them a little bit of confirmation in addition to maybe a seamstress ability or whatever.
Yeah, I think something like that could work really well.
Yeah, and with four outsiders on the Grim, we know there's been some information taken out by the Baron, so this counterplays the Baron, but it creates a little bit of counterplay there. Yeah, I think that's a pretty interesting one, or something in that realm you could come up
with.
Yeah. But amnesia is also something where you can think about the player who draws the token and what's going to be fun for them. Which, in this format, as a storytellers, we can't do because there is no player in that seat.
I don't know. I mean, seat six, they've had a real great personality over the course of our many episodes of the podcast.
Yeah, fan favorite seat six.
Fan favorite seat six there. Not quite as good as seat seven, which many people love, but...
Do you have any sort of other like global thoughts about storytelling the Leviathan? What do you have to look out for?
I guess I would say be kind to your fishermen. It's you do have to think a little bit differently about the kind of advice you give to a fisherman on a Leviathan script, because I mean you can say execute this player, but good luck like convincing the good team to all do that. You need to bear in mind the play patterns of the demon when you are customizing information to help the good team.
We didn't talk about what bluffs we were giving here, but I do tend to spend a little bit more time thinking about what bluffs I'm giving in a Leviathan game. The Leviathan is going to want to take something that they can get stable, and if you just give bluffs where they're going to have to fake information, it might be harder for them to get that stable bluff situated. So you probably want to really make sure you give a mix of bluff types for a Leviathan so that they do have, you know, something with ongoing information, something with a once per game, you know, maybe if you're not in a barren world, give them an outsider bluff, you know, give them a mix of things so that they have some optionality in how they want to play it and potentially things to fall back into. You know, here with the marionette, one minion already has a thing they're going to be claiming. Maybe the Leviathan can use two bluffs, and later, if we didn't have a mutant in the bag, they could fall back into mutant, you know, or something, or looking like a mutant. There's things you could hope.
I think, like, general seamstress and investigator are pretty strong bluffs for evil in this setup like this.
Yeah, I would give
Yeah, that's probably the three I would give. I would decide against High Priestess in this situation because the evil team doesn't have a Grimpeaker in the spy. So, like, you can sort of build in your first day as a High Priestess bluff, especially if you're handing your Baron the Investigator information. But you need to be able to convincingly pick a suitable player on night two, I think, in particular, to solidify that bluff. And without a spy, that can be tricky.
And remember what we said in the how to play part about the evil team needing to build worlds and be active. Make sure to give them, you know, if you give them... if you give them Magician, Snake Charmer, and Butler here, they're not going to be able to build worlds with Magician, Snake Charmer, and Butler as effectively as if they've got a once per game, a starts knowing, an ongoing. You know, they've got to have something they can do to create really distinctive worlds throughout the game. Not, you know, Snake Charmer, you can do it at the end, but it's not the whole game.
Yeah. That's like saying never give them an outsider bluff. You can give them an outsider bluff. Just give them a range of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Give them an outsider bluff and an ongoing and a one use, you know. Something so that they can do work.
Yeah. And generally speaking, that should be pretty hard to do. Like, it's very difficult to not give the demon an information character because of the nature of a lot of Leviathan scripts, but do take care.
Well, I think it's clear that none of us had anything to say about this demon, and it's really not one that we're interested in at all. But I know Emma and I are really happy that George was able to join us for this one. George, we're just going to roll out the red carpet for you. Tell everybody where they can find you, what you're up to. Shill away, my friends. Shill away.
Sure. If you haven't seen me in one of the too many streams I'm already on, then you're welcome. You just trip over Twitch and I'm probably there somewhere on TPI and Patters and Arif stream and Diz's stream and now Ken Clonk as well on Fridays. You'll probably run into me at some point. If not, probably better off. You can search my name on the script database. I write too many scripts and some of them are even useful. So you can have a mess around in there.
And you have a secret music blog.
I mean, it is a little there. I do have one now. As of recently, depending on time of recording, you may or may not still be able to find me shilling random music every day on Patters' Discord server because I have a problem and he handed me a megaphone to help with it.
Pals.fm. It's my favorite station.
It's a good time.
Hope you enjoyed this episode. Hope it helped you think a little bit of Leviathan. And may your scenarios stay grim.